There comes a time when you do have to give up what you consider your individual right of making your own decision for the greater good of society.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Monday, October 4th, 2021. Thank you for joining today as I realize that I haven't set out my wire ping yet. For those that don't know about that, we put out a ping when we're live on wire.com. If you want to join that group, I just forgot to do it. I'm doing it right now. We are live. Thank you for joining me for today on Impromptu Stream to get some very important stuff out at a time when it seems the internet is struggling. I had a really great interview planned with a creator of a privacy phone, a phone that I just, in my opinion, is knocking it out of the park. And we put it off just in case there was the internet wasn't going to be working today. We'll touch on this right out of the gate. It's going to be a shorter show today. But I wanted to do a show quick and short on a couple topics just to make sure we weren't going to have some crazy internet problems and plan a whole show out and then have it not work. That's why it's going to be shorter and focused today just to kind of test the waters, because StreamYard was unworkable. I even had an interview with Steve from Slow News today this morning we weren't able to do because it wasn't working. So hopefully right now everyone's seeing, hearing, this is communicating. This is sort of a test stream. Let's make sure it's working, right? Hopefully this is all working for everybody. Either way, I'm recording. So if it doesn't work, I'm going to post it later. So let's jump into some very, very important topics. Now, as you've seen from the title, that claim is a big deal. And I promise you, it's already probably dismissed by people that don't, oh, that can't be true because that's not real because fake news. But what's interesting is it's a study that's going around today in regard to how seemingly vaccination status has no bearing on the level of cases in general. Probably most people have seen it. It's been circulating on the internet. But one thing I found within that study, which is why it's always so important to read it all the way through and not just the abstract or what people are telling you it says from the title, but the whole damn thing. Because when you read through this thing at the very bottom, in my opinion, they buried the lead. And it comes off of data that we've already been discussing from the CDC slides. So we're going to start off with this discussion today in regard to how they're telling you from their data that there's an increase of hospitalization and death, respectively, and we'll give you the data around that in regard to hospitalization and death for the fully vaccinated. And I put quotes around that because of the way that they subjectively create that term and change it based on what how they see fit. And we've talked about that many times, how you're only fully vaccinated after 14 days after the second shot, and then 3 to 6 months after that, you no longer are fully vaccinated. Then as well, when the boosters come along, everyone therefore after, you continue to be not fully vaccinated, even though you've got injections in your body. That is causing problems that then get marked as unvaccinated. That's an illusion. But we're going to start today with some discussion. Oh, first a shout out what the clip I just played from the beginning about Fauci came from, but that study we talked about, we're going to be discussing this. We're going to be discussing another interesting discussion from Trial Site around how the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated are spreading the exact same, just like we've been telling you from the beginning. We're going to talk about a really interesting discussion from a doctor. We'll actually pretty much play the whole video of a doctor who did an immune system test. And what that shows you, you're not going to be surprised based on what we've already been talking about. I've played Ryan Cole discussing this same discussion about the CD8 killer T cells and how ultimately these things are dropping dramatically. Even if you see an increase in just antibodies, and remember, immunity is more than just these antibodies we're discussing in the injection. And the drop of the CD8 is creating more infection in your body. And that's exactly what we're seeing. And this immune system test seems to vindicate that. Now, we're going to go through just pretty much those topics today. But to start off, really quick, shout out to Key in here, who was also on Super U, by the way, sharing a clip from Fauci that a lot of these clips sneak by you because they're in these small little discussions on panels that they bury. I showed you the other day on their playlist that's reversed and at the way in so nobody can see the newest information and so on and so on. But think about how crazy it is what he just said. There comes a time when you have to give up what you consider your right to make your own choices. What do you mean I consider? There's no consideration here, Fauci. There's not a debate over this. These are God-given inherent rights. That's always the conversation. So I have a right to make up my own mind. You don't get to say, oh, because society's interests are there, because danger. In fact, those things quite literally do not matter. You know why I can say that? Because that's how it's always been listed in regard to international law. how many times we brought this up. And by the way, this is also listed on U.S. documentation. And this is from the October 19th, 2005 Universal Declaration on Bioethics and Human Rights from UNESCO, United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, you know, the UN, of which the United States is a part, right? So here's what it says very clearly. Just regardless of what Fauci wants to say, here's the fact in regard to what this, how this applies to you from a world standing. It says the interests and welfare of the individual should have priority over the sole interest of science or society. And then, just as I always point out, under consent, it very clearly says the consent, if you were to have given that, where appropriate, could be expressed and may be withdrawn by you, the person concerned, at any time or for any reason without disadvantage or prejudice. Yeah, but who cares about international law? You know, these things don't matter, right? This is what Fauci doesn't care about, right? Now, because society and science, both of which they just told you do not have precedence over you, because of those things, you don't get to make your own choices in some circumstances because society. And that's what good people do. Right? I mean, it's ridiculous. They don't care about anything else that's ever happened before any of this. They're jamming down your throat what they want you to do. Now, today we've seen this massive outage. Just maybe you're not watching the show right now. It's very interesting to me. Now, we're going to follow up on what's really going on here, but I just wanted to point this out. Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp experience global outages, but apparently we're seeing ticks in a lot of locations, including Twitter, AT&T, T-Mobile, all of this. I'm very interested by this. As always, when this happens, I go, what did they just change, right? What just happened? When YouTube has a massive outage, I'm thinking, okay, what deep fakes were just added, right? What manipulations just took place, right? What Castro-style edits of pictures and videos just happened to rewrite history in real time, right? They absolutely have done these things in the past. So I'm asking what happened now. Now, I don't know. We'll follow up. But could this just be a test in general to see who responds and in what way? Could it be a test to see if it could be turned off in a certain way? I mean, these are all things we should be asking. The idea of the switch of turning off the internet has been a growing conversation in supposedly, you know, dystopian third world countries, even though it's just as likely to happen right here in the same exact circumstance. But it's a conversation. So we should be asking whether or not your government is playing a part in what's happening here. Just a thought, just asking a general question. If you're think that's a crazy thing to ask and you're thinking conspiracy theory, then you should think into that. Ask yourself why, without any evidence one way or the other, it's suddenly conspiracy theory to question whether your government is involved in something. That is something you should reflect on. But going forward, I'm hoping this is working. Hoping you guys are seeing this, because this next conversation is really important. Very, very important here. Now, this is from September 30th. Springerlink. Now, this is a really important, technically from European Journal of Epidemiology. And this, as you can see from the headline, is it increases in COVID-19. So the cases they're reporting are, and of course, they're always hinging on the PCR test with a ridiculously high false positive. That's always over the overarching point of that conversation, regardless of whether it's stated. That's always there. Increases in COVID-19 are unrelated, it says, to levels of vaccination across 68 countries and 2,947 counties in the United States. Yeah, just a little small one. You know, totally not relevant. Like, this is a huge, sprawling, massive study. 68 countries that are bottom telling you flat out whether or not you're injected seems to have no bearing on whether or not you get infected. And this lines up with everything else we've been telling you, whether we're talking the viral loads, which we'll get to more in a second, right? Whether we're talking about transmission not being stopped, whether we're talking about the variants they're telling you are there, not being able to stop. Everything we've been telling you that they keep dismissing and calling conspiracy theory and saying, you know, sort of there, but not really, super rare, uncommon. It's all being backed up by this, and so too with everything else we're showing you. Doesn't mean they're going to talk about this, though. But this, to me, is the secondary point, and you'll see what I mean. Oh, well, you know, because I put it in the... I forgot I was battling whether I would put this in the headline or the one main point I put in the headline. And the headline, as you saw, is the CDC reporting a huge increase, 15%, in fact, 15.1% in death around the fully vaccinated, and almost 10% increase in hospitalization. Now, how does that line up with what they're telling you? I'm sure they have a narrative. It says vaccines currently, to go to the first point, vaccines currently are the primary mitigation strategy to combat COVID-19 around the world. That's what we're being told, and that's what that they're doing. For instance, the narrative related to the ongoing surge in new cases in the United States is argued to be driven by areas with low vaccination rates. And this is, again, this is like the pandemic of the unvaccinated, which, by the way, this entire study demolishes. A similar narrative also has been observed in countries such as Germany and the United Kingdom. At the same time, Israel was hailed for its swift and high rates of vaccination has also seen a substantial resurgence in COVID-19 cases. Now, their argument, as you've seen, and it's a really flimsy and embarrassing argument, it's, well, because most people are vaccinated, that means most cases are going to be enough. But that doesn't really line up when you look at how much this is really happening. And then, of course, you take this data into that and realize that, no, it's not having any effect, statistically speaking. But they want to just say it's because most are vaccinated. That's why most people are in the hospital or sick, or most people that are getting cases are vaccinated. But then simultaneously argue that somehow also makes sense to say that it dramatically reduces hospitalization and death by 60, 95%. But how can you have the majority of people in the hospital? It just doesn't make sense. You can argue there's a line to be discussed in there, but you can't say it makes sense to see this. And this study, again, makes that obvious. We investigate the relationship between the percentage of population of fully vaccinated and the new COVID-19 cases across 68 countries, 2,947 counties in the United States. At the country level, there appears to be no discernible relationship between percentage of population fully vaccinated and new COVID-19 cases in the last 7 days. No discernible relationship. Now that, if you are supposed to be trusting the science, would be a place where you would realize suddenly, well, the entire concept of why this vaccination is necessary is a subjective, hopeful, wishful thinking mentality. Because there again is no discernible relationship between percentage of population fully vaccinated versus the cases that we're seeing. No discernible relationship. It says, in fact, the trend line suggests a marginally positive association such that countries with higher percentage of population of fully vaccinated have higher COVID-19 cases per 1 million people. Now, this is where they keep trying to play this game where it's no longer about transmission. It just reduces symptoms. So therefore, of course, that makes sense. But now we get into this weird goalpost moving situation where, okay, so if we have a situation where most of the people who are sick are people who are vaccinated, and most of the people in the hospital are people who are vaccinated, and most of the people, I mean, all these factors you keep throwing out, how can we continue to pretend like this thing is doing what it's supposed to? And then you add on the variants and the mu and lambda and how they're vaccine resistant, and you factor in natural immunity, and the whole thing falls apart. It did long before that, by the way. But it says, notably, that same point. So it's more cases in places with more vaccination. It says, notably, Israel, with over 60% of their population fully vaccinated, had the highest COVID-19 cases per 1 million people in the last 7 days. The lack of a meaningful association between percentage population fully vaccinated and new COVID-19 cases is further exemplified. For instance, by comparison of Iceland and Portugal. Oh, weird. All these places that we've been pointing to. Fake news. Both countries have over 75% of their population fully vaccinated and have more COVID-19 cases per 1 million people than countries such as Vietnam, South Africa, that have around 10% of the population fully vaccinated. And remember, even within that, fully vaccinated is a very small proportion of people with a certain time frame. You can have people that are getting it. See, this whole thing is an intentionally opaque and muddied water situation because it's easier for them to operate like that. There's no reason you should have this weird definition that shifts between St. Louis to this other place to wherever you go, or breakthrough cases being reported or not reported, or reported in some cases or being reported more over here. It's a guarantee to make it whatever they want it to be. Across the U.S. counties as well, the median new COVID-19 cases per 100,000 people in the last 7 days is largely similar across the categories of percent population fully vaccinated. Notably, there is also substantial county variation in the new COVID-19 cases within categories of percentage population fully vaccinated. So there's no rhyme or reason here. There's not even any correlation. It just doesn't add up. That's why they said no discernible correlation whatsoever. We're just being told this is the right step despite the data. Trust the science, except the science doesn't say that, but we're going to do it anyway, which has been a pretty common running theme throughout this whole process. Oh, the experts said not to do it. Well, politics says we will, so we will. Notably, there is also substantial county variation I just read. It says there also appears to be no significant signaling of COVID-19 cases decreasing with higher percentage of population fully vaccinated, which, by the way, was the whole selling point. By their logic, all that we're ever going to see is a dramatic increase of cases forever because, well, everybody's vaccinated. So, of course, there's going to be. So how do you ever get away from this? Oh, look at that. You never do, because it's never going to stop based on what they're explaining to you in a way that justifies why we're in a bad situation. But you see, this is what I always talk about when you lie about everything, right? They want to lie about a year down the road where we're talking zero cases and everyone's back to normal, except what they're telling you right now lays out a path that makes that impossible. But who cares about facts and how things line up? Just listen and nod your head, because that's what they want from you. on the top five counties of the top five counties that have the highest percentage of population fully vaccinated, between 99.9% and 84.3%, the CDC identifies four of them as the high transmission counties, like the highest of the top level. So you have four of the highest of the five counties. That's just so silly to me. Four of the five most vaccinated areas are in the top high transmission counties. Now it says Chattahoochee in Georgia, McKinley, New Mexico, and Arecibo, Puerto Rico counties have above 90% of the population fully vaccinated, with all three of them being classified as high transmission. So all over the place, this is a common theme. And now conversely, of the 57 counties that have been classified as low transmission counties, 26% of them have a vaccination level of under 20%. This is statistically relevant, and none of this adds up with what they're trying to tell you is going on. Since full immunity from the vaccine is believed to take about 2 weeks after the second dose, which, by the way, that's believed, and so there's a reason they say believed, because that's not backed up by the data and what we're seeing. It says, we conducted sensitivity analyses by using a one-month lag. This is important for those that want to argue this might be cherry-picking from specific locations or timeframes. They go on to do a one-month lag on the percentage population fully vaccinated for countries and U.S. counties. The above findings of no discernible association between COVID-19 cases and levels of fully vaccinated was also observed when we considered the one-month lag on the levels of fully vaccinated, showing you that continually, if you factor in the time frame that you're supposed to wait afterward, you still find no discernible association between any positive benefit, right, associated with cases versus the injection. Now, it says the sole reliance on vaccination as a primary strategy to mitigate COVID-19 and its adverse consequences needs to be re-examined, especially considering the Delta variant and the likelihood of future variants. Now, this is that point where you realize, well, this is what, when they pretend they're trusting the science and don't do what they're, you know, just like when we showed you that 2020 peer-reviewed study that came right out in December 2020 and said antibody-dependent enhancement is a specific and significant risk that needs to be told to people. And they never did that. They never circled back and explained, oh, that's fake news, or that's why they're wrong. That study's still there. It's not retracted. So are they trusting the science? Which, again, is not what you should be doing anyway. Trust the scientific method. Show discernment, because people and science and doctors and anybody can be misled, can be wrong, can lie, can be paid. We've seen that right now. They're telling you that in reverse, aren't they? So right here, we need to think about that. They're telling you this needs to be re-examined because it's quite obvious that there's no connection here other than politics. It says, for instance, in a report released from the Ministry of Health in Israel, the effectiveness of two doses of the Pfizer injection against preventing COVID-19 infection was reported to be 39%. Now, this is what we keep telling you. This is new data, right? This is the point of the 50% efficacy. Right now, they're still using the emergency use authorization for 12 to 15. But this is telling you there's 39% efficacy. That drops below the required 50% necessary for the emergency authorization. Does anybody care about that? No, because the law only applies to anti-vaxxers, or however they want to label anti-vaxxers, or anybody anywhere even barely challenging the narrative, saying all vaccines are good, but I think we should wait on mandating it, you become an anti-vaxxer. That doesn't make sense, does it? 39%, and then it's substantially lower than the trial efficacy of 96, if not when the media was saying 100% about the 96. I showed you that. 100% effective. Well, clearly not, as we can see it breaking down in front of us. But they're just continuing to point back at the data from the beginning that justifies what they're doing now, just like the CDC did around the cases in regard to the pandemic of the unvaccinated, pulling from the first 6 months to argue for the last 6 months, knowing that the first six included the majority of time when most people were unvaccinated. So anything you pull from that time frame is going to look like majority of unvaccinated. That's a lie. It says it is also emerging that immunity derived from the injection of Pfizer's injection may not be as strong as immunity acquired through recovery from COVID-19. Exactly. It's amazing how these things can continue to be cited and posted, and all the studies have continued to show you from all the people they tell you to trust, and yet it's still up in the air. The media is not sure. It says a substantial decline in immunity from mRNA vaccines 6 months post-immunization has also been reported. Isn't that funny how they're right now going, but we think there's a decline, a waning of antibodies after natural immunity, but we know for sure there's a declining antibodies after the injection. So by that same logic, then we should not be forcing the injection, but who cares? A logic only goes one way in the COVID clown world. 6 months, and remember, that's 3 to 6 as we're seeing the data. We've shown you this. That's why there's many places saying that after 3 months, you're no longer fully vaccinated, as I've also shown you live on this show. It says, even though vaccinations offers protection to individuals against severe hospitalization and death. It's funny that they start the sentence that way, as if that's a fact, except the next part of the sentence literally says the opposite. Even though vaccinations offer protection to individuals against severe hospitalization and death, the CDC reported an increase from 0.01 to 9% and 0 to 15% in the rates of hospitalizations and deaths, respectively, amongst the fully vaccinated. Look at that. A 9% and 15% respectively increase in hospitalizations and deaths among the fully vaccinated. And the link is the ones we've already talked about. Right? This is the study right here. The Springer, this is, oh, this, that's right. I wanted to show you this. So this is the Springer Link study from the European Journal of Epidemiology, citing this slide, which we've already gone through and shown you about this data. Now, what's interesting is that it's buried just like everything else. The reality here is that if you have, now, to be very clear here, you could argue that a 15% increase in the deaths of the category of fully vaccinated could be associated with other things, of course. You see, because we're objective and we're willing to give you that full picture and say, sure, could they have gotten fully vaccinated and gotten into a car accident? Yeah, sure. Any number of things could have happened. But the bottom line is you break down the data, that stuff is not necessarily included. On top of that, you have a lot of other things that you could include that they're including, like the flu and pneumonia and so on. The point is that this data is meant to be, oh, like I said before, opaque. But this is what we talk about from arguing from within their narrative. How in the world, if the CDC is reporting from 0.01 to 9% increase between January and May 2021, the dramatic increase in injections timeframe in hospitalizations, and a 0 to 15% increase in deaths among fully vaccinated, how in the world is that not reportable? How in the world is that not, that's literally called informed consent. They're supposed to be going, here was what you need to know, as well as the fact that you have a dramatic increase in myocarditis in most age categories, that even mild cases can be very, very deadly, what the science reported as 26 to 56, I believe, or 25 to 56% increase in mortality over the next 10 years. Does anybody know this stuff that doesn't care to watch the independent media? No, they're not being informed. I find this to be crazy. Now, of course, I honed in on 15%, but almost a 10% increase in hospitalization among the category of fully vaccinated just between January and May is huge. And again, objectively, I can tell you that's correlation, but it matters. But so too does this title, just in general. If you don't have any discernible correlation here, how can they force this on anybody, let alone children with an also reported zero risk, a 1 in a million chance of dying according to Oxford calculator? I mean, it just becomes ridiculous. Now, this is the link in regard to, I just think it's just kind of funny. When you click on the link, here's what it takes you to. Or you just open it this way. Oh, weird. The link doesn't work. The only way I could find this is if you actually search the title itself and then find the link itself and bring it up on. I just find it funny that the link wouldn't come up. It's just interesting to me. Maybe it's just a glitch. Who knows? Either way, very important study that I guarantee will be misrepresented, dismissed, or ignored entirely because it shows you exactly what we keep telling you. On top of that, here's trial site news. University of Wisconsin-Madison and Public Health Study indicates vaccinated people may spread Delta-based SARS-CoV-2 as much as the unvaccinated. Just kind of adding to the same exact point. It says the study revealed that both vaccinated and unvaccinated individuals, on top of all the other studies that found the same, by the way, before this, have similar viral loads in nasal swabs during the Delta variant COVID-19 surge. While the White House, supported by Chief Medical Advisor Dr. Fauci, declared that the current pandemic is of the unvaccinated, the data across multiple sources and studies depict a very different reality. Exactly. Exactly. It's about narrative versus data. This is the joke I keep making. These are the people telling you to trust the science while they're seemingly not even looking at the science. See, ignoring it, blatantly going, we'll keep that out of you because that doesn't say what we want it to, but trust the science. What they say when they say trust the science is trust what we're telling you the science is. I've been saying that from the very beginning, which brings us to an important video that I might have to just end on based on time. That I want to play. And it's a very important video. This is, and it's already gone up like 20,000 views since this morning. It says, my jaw dropped when I tested someone's immune system after the second jab. So let's watch this. Make sure we get this in. Go through this together. This is very important. This adds to everything else we're also talking about. I'm actually going to play the video file for you right here.
How you doing, guys? Dr. Thompson here, Exemplify Health Center, Wellness Way affiliate, right here in Yorkville, Illinois. I apologize for that. That is backwards, but I need to flip the camera around so that you can see some data that so that you guys can actually read it. All right, guys. Hey, please share this video. This is very important because I don't know anyone yet who has done this testing. This is very important. I'm going to show you testing, immune system testing on three separate occasions. And I'm going to give you when we did these specific things. The first one was a person, and yes, we have his permission. This was some immune system testing that we did. And this person that came in was, you know, basically type 2 diabetic, very high inflammatory markers, high triglycerides, tanked hormones, immune system not doing very good either. And so the testing I'm going to show you, the one that we I'm going to show you first, this was after he really worked on changing his life. And you're going to see the immune system doing just fine. It's doing great. But guys, this is where is the reason why I'm doing this video is this. And I'm not super happy. I am not happy, you know, about this. I'm not any stretch of the imagination. Getting medical testing, verifiable proof, immune system testing of how to getting the second. And I'm going to, let me show it to you since I can't say it. The first. And then I'm going to show you after the second.
Just on a quick side note, though, I think I always find this very interesting. Obviously we're being, I shouldn't even say that because I think the point is that these people are still trying to operate within YouTube's world, which is, in my opinion, a bad thing to be doing, right? That's not going to work out well for you. I was going to question why we're self-censoring anywhere. I'm saying it all the time, but then we get censored on YouTube. So it's like, I answered my own question, but it's just, I hate self-censorship, but I understand why it happens today. I just want to point out that, you know, you're to a small degree, it's a win for them every time you don't do that, right? Why are we not allowed to say the word vaccine or injection? Right? It's interesting, but I agree. They will censor. It's algorithmic. I do agree with that. Anyway, let's keep going.
And I'm going to show you the changes that took place in the immune system. And I'm going to show you exactly what that means when you read this testing.
Oh, and for those on the podcast, what he's doing is giving like a little gesture to his shoulder and saying the first, second, he's meaning the injection. So when you hear that, that's what he means.
Okay. This goes right in line of what as Wellness Way doctors, Dr. Patrick Flynn, myself, this is exactly what we said, what will happen. And now I'm starting to see it happen. And again, it can't be false because this is medical testing.
Now, I disagree with that, by the way. I mean, it just shows you kind of reverence that even these doctors, you know, like, of course it could be. I'm not trying to undermine that the test is valid or that the test can't, you know, that his intentions are, there are always questions you should have. Is it possible that he could have made a mistake? Of course, that's always possible. So that's just the only thing I would disagree with here is to ever argue that it's just proof because this test is sound. There's a lot of caveats you could always point out. Nonetheless, I still do think this is a very valid point he's making.
All right. So let me show you the first one. Now, this gentleman went from type 2 diabetic to no longer type 2 diabetic, went from being able to hardly be able to, like his goal is to walk a mile. He can run a 5K now. He lost conservatively 60, 70 pounds. I don't really measure that, you know, that much. It's not really that important. But all his lab markers got better and they changed. He completely changed his life. Now, he got this and he knew he didn't want to, but he felt compelled to in order to keep his job. Can you imagine that? To keep his job.
Sad.
And I understand why men would do it. And this is what I tell you. It says, I can give you the information and give you the research. It's always going to be your decision. I know what my decision would be. I know what my decision would be for my family. I cannot make that decision for you. And I cannot tell you what hill that you would like to die on. So I'm going to show you his first one. I'm going to show you after the very first one, and then I'm going to show you the second one, and I'm going to show you exactly what it means. Guys, please share this video. All right. So this is after him doing a really good job of changing his life. This was when he was doing absolutely amazing. Still is, except for his blood work now. So you can see when you look at this, you see all of these nice, all of these in within these ranges. But this is what I want you guys to pay attention to is this. Is I want you to look at the granulocyte account and look at the lymphocyte account. All of these things, these are basically, you know, just part of the immune system, which is kind of a basic panel a lot of doctors run. All these immune cells perform a specific function. And when you look at it, you can associate it maybe the type of infection that they're elevated. You can see the type of infection that people will typically have, okay? So granulocytes, things are like lymphocytes, neutrophils. You got all your different types of lymphocytes. You guys are going to notice that when your doctor runs it, they don't differentiate between CD8, CD4, natural killer cells, things like that. Monocytes, these are your dendritic cells, your macrophages. This is what we're going to go over tomorrow. Eosinophils, so associated with parasitic infections. Basophils, associated with severe allergic reactions. Things like that. So when you look at this, the biggest thing that you see is you say everything is doing really well. Okay.
The takeaway here, just to make sure it's clear for this is what this is good, right? So what you're looking at right here is before he got an injection, and this is a good sign.
I want to show you this. This is after the very first you know what. So the very first you know what you can see is we started testing an expanded immune system panel, and I said, hey, if you don't mind, I want to see how your immune system is responding after the first you know what. So this is the first you know what, and here's what's interesting. Is you see the CD8 cells started to jump way up. So you see these CD8 cells start to jump way up. Now, let me turn the camera around. Let me tell you what a CD8 cell actually does. CD8 cell is called a suppressor T cell. It's also known as a killer T cell. What do killer T cells actually do? Well, what these are sniper-specific cells, and they are designed to kill virally infected cells that are literally wearing the virus on the surface of the cell. Think of spike protein. And it's also killing cancer cells. That's the job. They're very sniper specific. They don't do a lot of collateral damage, but I want you to think anything that is virally infected. So when you look at this, you can see those CD8 cells after the first, you know what, you can see they start to jump up. They're saying, hold the phone. What is going on here? We need to start killing off these cells that are expressing a specific, I don't know how you say it, spike protein. Okay. That was a couple of days after the first one. So you're seeing that a CD8 cells start to jump up. I said, okay, if you don't mind, I want you to get it after you get the second, you know what? I will pay for it. Just please let me do it for my research. I know that regardless, you're still going to do it. At least let's get some benefit from doing it so that we can gain some clinical data. Because I guarantee you, your doctor isn't saying, hey, let's do an immune system panel, an expanded one. That's CD4, CD8, natural killer cells and things like that. Guys, this if you don't know what the test is, it's very similar to how they measure progression of HIV infection. Okay.
Now ask yourself why. Why would this not be like the most logical test to be taking right now with all the questions and all the conversation, right? If they're so convinced that the whole every Vayers report is a fake news, conspiracy theorist, anti-vaxxer, well, then there's easy ways to do this, right? There's a million ways. This is a logical test to take in this situation. And it's almost as if they're going running from this kind of thing. Sort of like back again, I made this point the other day in regard to the like MMR conversation around the injection before all of this. Del Bigtree knows well. I mean, this is a conversation he's been fighting for a long time, where the one thing that would have dissolved the conversation or at least proven one way or the other was to do a vax versus unvax study. And that is the one thing they tried aggressively to never do. And the only time, they still haven't done it. The only James Lyons Weiler, PhD, did it of his own accord with his own peer review among scientific community. Why would they not do that? If they're so convinced that they're wrong and lying and conspiracy theorists, well, then of course not. Same point. This is a very important thing to show what's going on in people's bodies, and we just don't care to look, or they don't care to look.
It's basically an AIDS test. So that was his first one. I want to show you this. The second one, we just got it back literally last night. Okay. This got back literally last night. Now, this is after the second. Now, I want you to look at this, and I want you to stay with me. Please stay with me. Okay. So now what you see is you see that his granulocytes, look at how much they jumped up. Holy cow. These granulocytes are responsible for basically their neutrophils, their first responders, their emergency type cells. They're responsible for, they do have a viral component to it, but they're mostly for bacterial infection, and they also clean up tissue damage. Think of when you have tissue damage, like a pimple, like a scratch, like a sprained ankle. They're responders to tissue damage. And you look at this and you're saying, what on earth is getting damaged inside of the body?
Well, I think we know what. I think that's an obvious reality, right? So whether it's isolated this one person or it's happening all over the place, like the data seems to suggest and the observational, you know, anecdotal information seems to suggest, people are having heart attacks, blood clots, all sorts of things, myocarditis, like all these things are causing inflammation in your body. And that seems to back that up.
Then when you look at his lymphocytes, so his lymphocytes are things like his CD4 cells, CD8 cells, natural killer cells, his B lymphocytes that are producing antibodies, the very reason why they wanted to do it in the first place, to produce an antibody production. You can see how badly now that started to tank.
Okay, so this is where it comes into line with what Dr. Cole was saying. So now you've got the CD8 cells that are supposed to be fighting off the cancers and everything after the second shot that's dramatically dropping. And that's why you're catching all these other things, right? And this is kind of this ebb and flow we saw with the remember we just talked about it yesterday, that during the first about 9 to 20 days, most spiking about 7 to 9 days, you have an almost 50% increase in catching and in your susceptibility to an infection of COVID-19. The injection that's supposed to fight this is increasing your risk. And so the point is that it does that, and then, but now it drops down and now it's better. But so in the second part where it's dropping down, so too are your CD8 cells, which are supposed to be fighting off other things, right? And on top of that, what he's saying is those are also supposed to be the things that are creating antibodies. That's also why we have the data, which is being, we've shown you that people like the doctor from the scientist telling you that your antibodies are 5 to 6 times lower after the Pfizer injection, or the fact that Red Cross said, well, you're not, it's destroying the antibodies in your blood, right? I mean, all of these things line up with this data. How does this supposed to line up with this thing working in any discernible way with what they're telling you? It doesn't. And then you add this up with a study we just talked about telling you there's no discernible connection, and it all seems to fall into place. But it doesn't if all you do is listen to what the government says against the data and say, but this is the truth. That's fake news for one reason or another. It's a choice, guys. It's a choice to be a critical thinker, to think for yourself, or just follow the lead of authoritarians that have been lying to you since you were born.
And then what's interesting too is that you can see that his natural killer cells have absolutely tanked as well. Natural killer cells, guys, this is part of your innate immune system, okay? This is your innate immune system, and natural killer cells are your first responders to things like viruses, virally infected cells, and yes, even cancer cells. And wow, holy cow, you can see how that is tanked. Now, what I'm not showing you is all his other numbers, but every single one of his lymphocytes are on the very lowest end of normal, and comparing it to the last one, they have absolutely tanked. So what is tanked? His adaptive immune system has absolutely tanked. Adaptive immune system, CD4, CD8, natural killer cells, his B lymphocytes, all of those things have actually just gotten pummeled within the month. Now, what has changed within the month? Gee, I wonder. He's still eating great. He's still exercising. He's still avoiding his food allergies. He's taking his supplements. Exactly. So what changed in his environment? A toxin. I'll leave it up to you.
Now, think about this exactly like what Kaufman said just the other day. We referenced this, right? Is it possible that there's this abstract long-term explanation about how this is leading to it's working, but it's causing problem? Sure, certainly possible. But Occam's razor, right? All things considered equal, the most obvious explanation tends to be the right one. So, to Kaufman's point, is it more likely of this abstract explanation or that just you're putting poison in your body and it's hurting your body? Your choice. Look at the data, come to your own conclusions. But that's what he's saying. Like what this is simple as just saying, look, you're putting a toxin in your body that is hurting your body. Seems pretty clear based on, and this is not just in a subjective opinion. This is backed up by the very scientific research, by the very locations and institutions that they keep telling you to trust. This is why it's ridiculous where we are and we're being called fake news. for doing what they claim they're doing while they're not doing that. It's just, this is just crazy. This is why we say COVID clown world. It's ridiculous.
To understand what I mean by a toxin. So look at how that changed. So listen, if no one told me anything, if I looked at this and said, hey, Dr. Nate, look at this blood work, because this is what we say. We say a person could be blind, deaf, and dumb. And dumb is not dumb, but meaning in the biblical term, you can't speak. If a person could not communicate to me, then you say, show me x-rays, show me labs, show me that. And we could pretty doggone get it closely figured out as far as what's going on. So if you said, hey, look at this lab, and what does it tell you? I would look at this lab, and in 2 seconds, I would say, this person has autoimmunity. Let me say it again. This person has autoimmunity.
Now, I'm going to leave it right there. There is some more important things in here I might play on my next show. I just interest of time here, guys. But how many other things have we seen pointing to this injection leading to autoimmune disorders? Antibody-dependent enhancement, pathogenic priming, molecular mimicry, all these things that we're seeing play out in front of us. All of this is backed up by what he's telling you right here. All of it. It just can't be any more clear. But to finish off, let's go through really quickly to wrap up. I just want to point to this on the way out. This is from September 27th. Persistence of neutralizing antibodies a year after infection in humans. So just adding on, this is 8 to 13 months. And what it simply shows you is persisting serum antibodies. Now, remember, that's on top of the T-cell memory B and everything else of the Lancet, the WHO and NIH and everybody else have told you are lasting, durable, and robust. On top of that, they're just showing you the study that went past 8 months is now showing, oh, look, it does go past 8 months and it goes to 13. And not just only 13, that's just where they stopped the study. You have lasting, durable, robust immunity if you've had this according to what they're telling you and their scientific research backs up. Pretty obviously. On top of that, as in yet another study finds, nearly 90% of people in the UK already have antibodies because they've had natural immunity. Very clear, the data continues to pile in one obvious direction as they ignore it across the board. Slovenia just suspended the Johnson & Johnson injection over the death of one 20-year-old. Just one. But they reassure that the benefits outweigh the risks. Of course they do. But one person dies and they suspend the whole thing. Compare that to what's happening here. And finally, new COVID-19 vaccines will be necessary by mid-2022 to combat the next generation of virus strains. According to Pfizer BioNTech CEO, that's fantastic. So they're telling you, this isn't going to stop. 2020, we'll get the next one by 2022 because it's never going away and this is going to be happening forever and we'll have your next booster by 2022. But we're going to go back to normal next week, right? Right? It says a new vaccine tailored, of course, mRNA platform style to probable future mutations. So they're guessing, just like the flu, sometimes which doesn't work out because they guess wrong, but you'll take it anyway and have to put it on your passport though, of the COVID-19 coronavirus will likely be needed for the middle of 2022. According to the head of biotech, the biotechnology company that developed the Pfizer shot, the German firm CEO told Financial Times that COVID variants such as Delta strain were more contagious but could be tackled by booster shots of current vaccines, which is, by the way, not backed up by the data. We've continued to show you that. It's, in fact, being pretty clear to be that it's almost vaccine resistant. It says, however, he added that mutations would emerge that could slip past the body's vaccine-acquired immune defenses. Yeah, exactly. That's what's happening right now. And by the way, on top of that, natural immunity is being shown to continue to make antibodies, memory B, T cells against continually showing variants. From even if you got infected way back in the beginning, meaning you're going to continue to make immunity to the variants going forward, according to Science and Science Mag and all the mainstream scientific research publications that have said that. But it says this year, a different vaccine is completely unneeded, even though the data says that that's not working, but they just want you to think it's working just for now, though. But by mid next year, it could be a different situation. Now, how does that even make sense? How would this one, based on the original strain, somehow be working against new variants that popped up since then, but they already know that it wouldn't work for the next ones? Does that make sense to anybody? It says adding that tailored versions of current vaccines would be needed to specifically target the new strains that emerge. This virus will stay, and the virus will further adapt. Exactly. So it's never going away. Welcome to the new normal. That's what they want you to know. We have no reason to assume that the next generation virus will be easier to handle for the immune system than the existing generation. We're already doing new variants. What's the new generation? The next variant? Well, no, they're telling you. It doesn't make any... This is just going, next time we tell you it's time. Like, next time we're going to... This will have something new and we'll pump it in your arm. This is a continuous evolution that the evolution has just started. That the evolution has just started. Exactly. This is your beginning. Vaccination programs will feature two main streams by next year, they predict. The booster shots for those already inoculated, and a continued campaign to get the vaccines to those who have had minimal access to thus far. It will never go away, ever. Meanwhile, a new study suggested that fully vaccinated recipients with two shots of Pfizer lose the vaccine-induced antibodies after 6 months. Oh, look at that. Again, telling you it does not last, while we see every scientific publication telling you natural immunity is durable, robust, and lasting. In roughly half of all subjects in the study, the antibodies that help block infection against coronavirus variants such as Delta, Beta, and Mu could not be detected. Could not be detected 6 months after. Not waning, were gone. But they don't tell you that. Noting that antibody levels dropped by nearly tenfold in 7 months, the study's authors told Reuters that the findings suggested booster shots administered around 6 to 7 months after initial immunization would likely enhance it, meanwhile ignoring natural immunity in every possible turn. Couldn't be more clear, guys. The data's in front of you. They're hiding all of this from you. Now, as I rush out for time, I love you all. Thank you for being here. I will see you soon. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.